I want to talk about fear because we're all experiencing a lot of fear these days. It's a scary time. I want to start with a story of Jack Kornfield likes to tell, where when he was a monk and with Ajahn Chah as the abbot of the monastery, and they were taking a walk through the forest. It's the forest monastery, Wat Pa Pong in Thailand. And they're walking through the forest, and there's this huge boulder in the trees. And Ajahn Chah says to Jack, "Do you think that boulder is heavy?" And Jack says, "Well, of course it's heavy. It's huge." And Ajahn Chah says, "Well, not if you don't pick it up." So I like this story. It's so simple, and it's really a description of conceptual mind. And with conceptual mind, we carry a lot of loads that aren't really happening. And we have an option in a moment of letting go and dropping the boulder and just knowing what our present moment experience is. So we have that option all the time. We can put down the boulder. And the boulder is, you know, the roots of it are us being a separate self. Our conceptual mind creates the illusion of a separate self. And we project that separate self into the future based on lessons from the past. So our thinking mind gets us into a lot of trouble. And one of the main ways we get into trouble as we think about things is with the emotion of fear. And of course, we get scared. It's a scary time. And of course, we need to act on our thoughts when our thoughts are relevant, and we need to think about things and plan. And, you know, so all of that is helpful, but there's a lot of thinking that isn't helpful, and that's what we can let go of. And there's a story about a very devoted practitioner who goes to a cave, and she's practicing, she's on retreat, and one of her contemplative practices is painting, and she's really good at painting, and she paints and paints this very detailed, elaborate tiger with fangs and a snarl and claws and the beautiful stripes and beautiful eyes of the tiger. And she spends so much time painting it. It's just incredibly beautiful. And when she's finally done, she jumps back in terror and runs out of the cave. And she painted something so vividly that it seems so real. And this is really kind of what we do with thinking mind, with fear. We get scared and we just lock on to the situation, and we just make it more and more scary. And we get more and more convinced that it's really happening. But when we see clearly how fear is, and our practice is the practice of Vipassana, means clear seeing. So when we see fear clearly, we see it's actually quite simple. The trick of the mind is just comprised of a couple of things. And the first is, of course, that it's thinking. And what we think about is always hypothetical. It's riddled with doubt, with complexity. It's confusing when we think about the world, and we can't really capture the real world with our thoughts. We can approximate it, but we can never capture it. And so we can just summarize and say, your thought worlds are fantasies. And some fantasies, you know, are helpful and some are not, but regardless, it's a fantasy. So that's the first element. We're making it up. The meditator is painting tiger. It's not a real tiger. It's an image of a tiger on the cave. And then the second aspect of fear is it's future based. We're always thinking about something in the future when we get scared. And the third is we imagining the future, and it's not pretty. It's unpleasant. So fear is really comprised of these three things: a fantasy, it's a future thinking, and it's unpleasant. And because of that, we jump back in terror from the painted tiger. So these three things are what hook us. We can summarize this all as fear is basically the energy of something terrible is about to happen. And that's what hooks us. We lose the clarity. We lose the ability to see that thinking mind is conjuring a world. We think it's a real tiger. So what we want to do is just, you know, be willing to experience fear and notice these three elements. And the thought, the content of thought is not happening. The thought is happening, so you can be aware of the thought. You can be aware that the thought is future-based and that it's unpleasant. The content is what isn't happening. The rest is. So what's really interesting about fear is a lot of times the fear is much worse than the thing we're afraid of. And this is borne out in different ways. One example is Byron Katie, the spiritual teacher, was in Boulder a few years back, and she talked about working with torture survivors. And she said to a person that she worked with, to a person, they said the fear of the torture was worse than the torture itself. And another example, this is from the New York Times, and I want to read this here. A researcher, Ms. Silvers, studied and wrote about people who heavily consumed media after the bombings at the Boston Marathon in 2013. And quote, what we found is that individuals who were exposed to a great deal of media within the first week reported more acute stress than did people who were actually at the marathon. So we need to be careful. The fear of something can be worse than the thing itself. And so we really need, we need to stay informed, we need to take action, but we also need to limit our media consumption. How much do you really need to stay informed? And just, you know, be willing to let go of the rest. So Mark Twain said this, I'm an old man. I've lived a long and difficult life filled with so many misfortunes, most of which never happened. So the other aspect of fear that's important to keep in mind is that because we don't like feeling scared, that the phenomenon of fear is a really big part of working with fear. We need to really get it that we don't like being scared. Fear scares us. And so we want to avoid not just the object of the fear, but we want to avoid feeling scared. In a way, we avoid the object because we want to avoid the fear. And it's really just feeding the energy. Fear of fear feeds itself. It's, you know, kind of finds its own fuel. We're scared and we don't like we're scared. So the whole thing sort of snowballs. So basically it's an emotion of avoidance. We want to avoid the object that provokes our fear because we want to avoid the fear. And so the bulk of the work with fear, if we want to be brave, what we want to do is flip things around and be willing to be scared. And when you're willing to be scared and you're willing to feel the fear and be aware of it with mindfulness, then that's cutting fear of fear. And then we can just be with the original thing, just the fear, just fear. And what we want to do to be aware of fear is drop into this physical experience. That's a present moment experience. The sensations of fear might be fluttering in the belly, tightness in the ribs, who knows, many different things, elevated pulse, different sensations. If we can just be physical, aware of the physical tingle, throb, flutter. That's a present moment experience. So we're meditating, we're in the moment. And it also de-escalates the all the difficulty of fear. The drama of fear is in the thinking and the imaging, the thoughts and images. So what we want to do, we acknowledge that, we don't suppress it, but we drop down into the physical experience. What's it like in the body? And when we get comfortable with that, we can really be with those sensations. They're probably going to be unpleasant, but that's okay. It's not a catastrophe, it's just unpleasant. So we notice the unpleasantness. And once we're really comfortable with the sensations, then what we want to do is we're kind of turning towards the fear in the body first, then we want to turn away. Notice everywhere in the body that is not activated. And often what you notice is there's the fear in a part of the body, and then there's sensations that reflect calmness in the rest of the body. And that's really helpful. So we then kind of go back and forth, turn towards, turn away, just a sensation. And then the last thing to say about fear, we want to be really kind. We want to really allow fear. What we're doing essentially is accepting our fear more and believing it less. That's kind of the kernel, the nutshell of emotional wisdom. Accept it more, believe it less. Allow your fear more. Because if you don't allow it, it still has a hold on you. It's fooling you. When you allow it, you can see how it really is. And remember, it's a fantasy. It's future oriented. And the future's unpleasant. That's the nature of it. And then the fourth element is that we want to avoid the fear. And we've cut the fear of fear. We've cut the avoidance just by being mindful of it. So you've got the mindful tools you need. And the kindness comes from the realization that fear arises impersonally. We're not doing it on purpose. You don't decide, oh, I'm going to be scared now. Fear just comes as habit. And in this time of COVID, we're practicing a lot of fear. And whatever you practice becomes easier. In the musical Wicked, Dorothy asks the Bad Witch, how did you get so mean? And the Bad Witch says, practice. And we're always practicing. So we want to practice whatever helps us be less scared. And what helps us be less scared is being willing to be scared and being curious about it and accepting it more and believing it less. And that's the source of bravery. Because if we're willing to be scared, then we're willing to do something that might provoke fear because we're not scared of fear. And the last thing I just want to say is something someone said to me on a retreat, which is very helpful, Steve Armstrong, a Vipassana teacher. I was working with fear. And he said, you know, really, Peter, you don't have to change it. You just have to outlast it. Because what happens is if you can keep being aware of fear, be mindful of it in the body, not throwing more logs on the fire, not fueling the fire of fear. So we acknowledge the thoughts, but we don't fuel them. When we do that, the fire eventually burns out. The fear gets metabolized, and then something else comes along. So you don't have to change it. You just have to outlast it. Thank you.